You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, God Can Change Your Heart. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
One of our nation's leading experts on sociology and religion, Dr. Peter L. Berger from Boston University, has now confessed that for years he was operating with and promoting some very wrong information regarding religion. According to the New York Times, Dr. Berger now openly admits that he, along with many other religion specialists, for years believed that when people began to be modern and sophisticated, they no longer desire religion. This idea, Dr. Berger now confesses, is wrong. And the evidence is all over. People of every social level today are searching for religion and for faith and spirituality. Some of the finest medical doctors and some of our nation's best professors unashamedly confess their great hunger to read the Bible, to pray, and to attend church. With very few exceptions, Dr. Berger writes, our world is as religious today as it has ever been. And so the present predicament is not that people are no longer interested in religion. The present problem for most people is that they don't know where to go to find a religion they can believe in and a spiritual leader they can trust. Consequently, more and more people today are looking to great personalities of history, men and women who have gone through a similar search for answers to religion, and people of history who have found the ultimate answer. How fitting, then, that in the next few days we will be celebrating the birth of that man who, through his religious search to find meaning and peace in life, caused a great social upheaval 500 years ago in the Western world. This man's name was Martin Luther. Historians point out that already in his earliest days, Luther was very interested in religion. And as a growing child, Luther's parents made sure that their boy learned about God. This, of course, was all very well intended. But there was one serious problem. You see, the God that Luther came to know was a God that was always angry at sinners. And as a consequence, if Luther did anything at all that was wrong, then he believed God stood constantly by, always ready to punish him. And because Luther realized that he too failed so very often, he felt terrible. Is there any way, Luther asked himself, to make sure that God will not punish me for my sins? Luther began to look around. He began to try to find ways in order to make himself look less sinful and less guilty and more righteous in the sight of God. He tried praying more. He tried sleeping without covers on the cold winter nights, and he thought that these acts of self-deprivation might earn God's mercy. He tried fasting, and he even became a monk. However, the more heavenly Martin Luther tried to be, the more hellish Luther felt. Now, maybe some of you listening today have felt the very same way. You are not proud of some of your past failures. You are privately ashamed of some of your past mistakes. Sometimes you think it might be good to be able to do things over again. You would like to feel better, and you would like to feel better about your relationship with God. But you also know that just wishing for this new relationship with God will not automatically cause it to be. And if we are honest, you and I also know, just like Martin Luther realized, that we are not going to find the answer to this problem within ourselves. The answer to the anxiety of how you and I are going to find peace with a holy God in spite of our sin, this answer lies not within us, but with our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. And this answer, this wonderful good news, is explained in God's Word. This is also what Luther discovered. And in his great spiritual anxiety and uncertainty, Luther began to search the Scriptures, the Bible, or the Word of God, as we say. He searched, and he searched, and he continued to search, and he wanted to find some way that he could become more righteous in God's sight. Luther was doing very much like many people do today, who want to overcome all their problems by going to some local bookstore, and by simply buying self-help and how-to books. But in looking for ways to improve himself, Luther came upon more and more information telling him that all our acts of self-righteousness are like filthy rags in God's sight. Can you imagine this? How useless, how hopeless, yes, how downright depressing. But then one day Luther was reading the Bible, and in the first chapter of the book of Romans he read that through God's gospel we receive from God a righteousness that is not our own. For in the gospel, St. Paul writes, a righteousness from or of God is revealed. Now the light finally went on. Now Luther realized that if he was going to be able to stand before a holy God, he would have to be righteous and totally perfect. And this would be possible not through his own self-righteousness, but only through the perfect righteousness of Jesus. Theologians call this an alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes to us from an outside source. You see, because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I can now receive through God's gift of faith the perfect, the sin-cleansing, and the soul-saving righteousness of the Lord Jesus. No, we are not saying that in Jesus we become righteous and holy and without sin. Quite the contrary. Through Jesus Christ, God, in His grace, looks at us and declares us righteous, even though you and I are sinners. And in His grace, and because Jesus died the death on the cross that you and I should have died as a consequence of our sins, and because of the righteousness Jesus earned for us on that bloody cross, now our Heavenly Father places over our shoulders the cloak, yes, the mantle, yes, the coat of Christ's perfect, pure, and saving righteousness. It is as the hymn writer Ludwig von Zinzendorf wrote, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Oh, you can imagine the new life and the new hope that Luther found when he understood the good news of God's holy gospel. Now, no matter who you are today, you can possess that same certainty and that same joy that Luther expressed in his newly found and Christ-centered faith. Later in life, Luther wrote, it was as if I had been born again, as if the gates of heaven were opened unto me. Oh, my friend, today let God in Jesus Christ give you that same boldness that He gave Martin Luther. Set aside, yes, totally reject any and all efforts to make yourself righteous, and instead, by God's gift of faith, humbly receive Christ's perfect and sin-cleansing righteousness. Confess also with Martin Luther, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to Him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. And so today I think we can all see how helpful it can be for all of us to learn about the pilgrimage made by Martin Luther. Enabled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, Luther moved from anxiety to assurance and from a guilty conscience to a new life of joy in Jesus. But I think we need to also remember that many people today are making this very same pilgrimage. A few moments ago, I described, as reported in the New York Times, that there is today a new search for spirituality and religion. This search is not going on, according to the Times, only among the common man. It includes doctors and academics and other people of great learning. Not long ago, the Wall Street Journal published an article with the subtitle asking, who says it's possible to believe in science and in God? The answer was, scientists do. The author then went on to describe a conference that he had attended at the University of California at Berkeley. The name of this meeting was Science and the Spiritual Quest. This conference had more than 30 speakers, and it lasted for 4 days. And the one thing that absolutely amazed this Wall Street Journal author was this. Many of the participants were well-known scientists, and yet they also believed in God. And according to the article, one participant, Mr. Charles Townes, holds the Nobel Prize for developing the laser. And according to the author, this scientist is also unabashed. That's what he said. He is unabashed about his religious belief. In further discussing this meeting of well-known scientists who confess their faith unashamedly, the author then said, somehow it has gotten into popular culture that science is all fact and that religion is all opinion, which, he said, isn't true of either one. Equally interesting is the statement by this journalist that the blame for the confusion between religion and science can be pinned on Sir Isaac Newton, a British scientist who lived some 300 years ago. Now, although Newton was a religious man himself, the Wall Street Journal explains, Newton described a world that was predictable and mechanical, as if God had wound up creation like a clock and then walked away. Then, according to one of the scientists who spoke at Berkeley, the seeds of modern atheism lie with Newton's successors. Their mechanistic worldview led to a belief in deism, and deism has led to a belief in nothing. Finally, toward the end of his article, the writer for the Wall Street Journal then made a most interesting point. He said that the scientists who had gathered at the University of California at Berkeley agreed that even if they, through science, could know that God exists, using this same science, they could not learn who God really is. And so then it all makes sense. The Bible also says that all of creation testifies to God's existence. But then in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, we read that no man has seen God at any time, and that it is Jesus. Yes, he is the one who has explained God. Oh yes, in all of his teachings and in all of his public ministry, it was the intent of Jesus Christ to reveal God as God desires to be known. In his word, God reveals that he thunders against sin. In his word, God says unequivocally, "The soul that sins shall die." In Jesus Christ, God explains his wonderful love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, in Jesus, shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And this revelation is also, my friend, God's good news for you today. Even in those moments when the devil tempts you to believe that you are too bad or too unworthy to be loved by God, then trust not your own vain self-righteousness, but cling, yes, cling every hour and every day unto the perfect and saving righteousness of Christ. You see, the Bible says unmistakably that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become a damned sinner in your place. And when Jesus died on the cross, he substituted for you. He voluntarily took the suffering you deserve, and Jesus died the death you should have died. And God did all of this mercifully and graciously for you because Jesus paid the price. And now through his gift of faith, God is offering you, my friend, the perfect and saving righteousness of his crucified and resurrected Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, don't delay. Walk away from all attempts of finding peace with God through your own efforts of self-righteousness, and then put the past behind you. Greet each new day with joy and with a solid confidence that God, in his grace, has taken the initiative and has established a new relationship with you in spite of your many failures, and he has done this through Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray today, where there is uncertainty of faith, bring strength. And where there is feeling of worthlessness, pour into that heart the perfect and the saving righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, O Lord, for all who repent and turn from their sins, fill them with your perfect forgiveness and the power of your Son's glorious resurrection. In your mercy, O Lord, grant all who are listening today your forgiveness, your joy, and your eternal hope. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.